Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. It's good to be here. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be here to lead us in this time of worship as we gather in God's house. I have a few quick announcements to make to get us going this morning. The first is just a reminder that at 2:30 this afternoon, we do have our charge conference right here at the church. We'll be hosting the seven or eight other local area churches will be joining us for that time of worship and then to take care of the business of the church. I remind us it is open to all to attend, but you do need to be a member of the church when it comes to those voting items. So that will be happening this afternoon at 2:30. We'll be starting right here in the sanctuary, so I hope you can join us. Also a reminder then to our youth families, because of that charge conference meeting, we will not be having youth group today. Our normal scheduled meeting will not be taking place here today. But I encourage those families to check your emails. We have an event planned for next weekend, so just be aware of that going on, and we'll look forward to doing that next weekend. Also downstairs, there's a sign-up sheet at the welcome board for Children's Craft Day on November 5th. They'll be starting at 1 p.m. doing some fun winter-themed crafts down there. If you want to join us for a day of fellowship, bring the kids or grandkids and join us for that time at 1 o'clock on the 5th. They're asking you to sign up just so they make sure they have supplies for that. Also, the Yaha Halloween party is on October 31st and begins at noon, and there's a sign-up downstairs for that as well. If you can join them, I saw they have a pretty good list, and looking forward to a fun time with that group on the 31st. And my final one is, it was mentioned to me that it's been a couple years since we've been able to do it, so we should get back into it. And we should do a Christmas program this year. And we have a couple of scripts that have been that we've been looking over, but we are looking for some helpers with that. If anyone's interested in helping, specifically, if anyone's interested in directing and leading that program, I know we have helpers. I know we have people who will show up and help us out, but if you're interested, if that's something that might speak to your heart or your soul, let me know. Give me a message and let me know that. We'll talk about making some arrangements for a Christmas program here this year. But those are the announcements that I had shared with me before service, the things that we wanted to highlight. So I'll now invite you to join me for this time of worship. I'm going to invite you to center your hearts, center your minds on Jesus, and we're going to stand together as we're able for our opening hymn. It's number 710, Faith of Our Fathers. Will you sing with me number 710? Thank you. Will you pray with me? Lord, your words are sweet to the taste, sweeter than honey. Let them be our daily meditation and our study. Give us ears to hear, for we marvel at your instruction. Train us in righteousness, grant us patience and persistence, and equip us for every good work. Inspire our faith and give us voices to proclaim your message. Guide our feet, keep us from every false way, for you alone speak the words of life. Be with us in this time of worship, we pray. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is coming to us from the Psalms. It's Psalm 119. We'll be hearing verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And this ends our first reading for this morning. At this time, our choir has their anthem prepared for us. We're blessed to have Gloria playing with us again this week. We offer our thanks to her for that. And they're going to be singing for us, Fairest Lord Jesus. Thank you, choir. And this time I'd like to invite any of the children or youth or students that are out here that would like to join me to come on up and join me on the steps. Hi there. Come on up. You know what? I'm coming down to you then. There's only a few of us this week. I'm coming down to you guys. Whoops, and I just knocked off my microphone. Look at that. Well, how are you guys doing this morning? Good? Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you can join me for this time up here, and I'm glad you're here with us at church today. You guys have a good week? Did you have things during your week that you had to do? Like what? Work for school, and work maybe around the house? Doing some chores, or those things that your moms or dads or that you're asked to do, those things at home. Do you guys have some of those things? Yeah? I have those things that I have to do too. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes when I look at my list, I have a to-do list that I keep. And when I look at that list, I start looking at it and I go, don't want to do that one. Don't want to do that one. Don't want, ooh, that one. And I'll pick and choose the things I like to do. And same thing when I come over to church here. Especially when it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we have Bible study, and they always bring snacks. And Wednesdays, the ladies show up, and the crafters, and they always have snacks. So my to-do list usually includes, well, let's go see what they're doing, and maybe get a snack to start my day. But I think we all do that a little bit to a certain degree. We look and we see those things we have to do, and there might be some things that are a little harder that we have to do, things that we don't really want to do, like clean the bathroom. Who wants to do that chore? No one wants to do that chore. That's your job today? Well, I'm sorry. Probably not one you're looking forward to, is it? Well, I'll make sure church goes a little long, so maybe you don't have time to do it today, all right? We all have those things that are on our to-dos or our tasks that we don't want to do that might be a little harder, that just don't sound fun. And this week, we're still talking with Paul and Timothy. I'm going to be talking with the adults a little bit later in our scripture. And last week, we talked about how Paul was a mentor to Timothy and how he encouraged Timothy to do what he did, just like we had the monkeys. What did the monkeys say last week in our story, remember? The adults remember, that's right. And Paul was encouraging Timothy to copy, to do what he had done, to do those same things. Well, in the same way, Paul's kind of encouraging Timothy this week that it's never the wrong time to start doing those things. We can always start doing the hard things because sometimes it's hard to be a disciple of Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to do the work that we're called to do. And I'd encourage you guys the same thing. It's hard to start doing your chores. It's hard to get out the cleaning supplies for the bathroom. I get it. But it's never too early for you guys to start being a disciple of Jesus either, because when you know Jesus' love in your heart, you can share that with other people. You can tell other people about that. And so I'd encourage you guys, you're not too young to start. You're a disciple of Jesus too. You love Jesus, then you can tell others about that love. And so I'd encourage you guys that. I know our Odyssey team does a great job telling you guys about Jesus, telling you about those stories. And if you go home from that, you want to tell someone else, do it. That's what Jesus wants for us, is to share that love with other people. So that's my encouragement for you guys. You're not too little. You're not too young. I'm not too old, even though my kids like to tell me I'm too old for some things. I'm not too old. No one out there is too old to share Jesus' love. So that's my encouragement for all of us, all right? And before you guys head back there, I'm going to say a word of prayer, all right? So will you guys join me in prayer here? Dear Jesus, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for this time, for the boys and girls that are before me, Lord, and for those of our church who just can't join us today. We are thankful for them, thankful for the presence they bring to our church, the reminder of your love, that it comes in many ways and shapes and forms, and we are thankful for all of them. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing be with each of these boys and girls, that you continue to guide them and comfort them, help them to speak your love, to share that love with others when the opportunity presents itself. Because, Lord, we know that you love us, and we love you too, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Thanks for coming up, guys. You're welcome to head back there. I saw Ms. Hostler back there getting ready for you. We'll see you later. Well, as they're heading off to class, we go to our time of joys and concerns, the times that we share those names and places, the situations, those in our own lives and in our world. And I'll just add, you may have noticed a few less children on the stage. I don't have my crew with me today, and I would just ask for prayers for Eliza, my daughter. It was a rough night in our house, is all I'll say. She was up for the better part of it, and so just prayers for her that she's on the men here this morning. She woke up and told me this morning, "Daddy, I don't need the bucket anymore," which was good news in our household, but prayers for her, and that it maybe stays away from the rest of the family. I have some other joys and concerns that I was asked to share this morning, and to start, I wanted to point out that along with our United Women in Faith group, we are again joining with Turning Point this month to highlight and to bring awareness for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We've done this before, and if you came in, you may have seen some of the shirts hanging in our sanctuary this morning. Those have come from Turning Point, and it's a part of the Clothesline Project, and some of us are aware of it. We've heard it before, but let me just share a little bit about the Clothesline Project here with us today. The Clothesline Project began in 1990 with 31 shirts. It was began by a small group of women who had experienced domestic violence in their own lives. Their hope was to transform staggering statistics about violence against women and children into a powerful, educational, and healing tool. They used the clothesline imagery in recognition of how many women in close-knit neighborhoods would exchange information over the fences of their backyard while hanging laundry to dry. The adage of hanging the dirty laundry out to dry still holds true as violence feeds on silence. Turning Point provides survivors an outlet through these shirts to express their voice. Since 1990, hundreds of clothesline projects have emerged nationwide and abroad, with tens of thousands of shirts designed by both survivors and those that have lost loved ones. If you'd like to know more about Turning Point or the Clothesline Project, their upcoming events and other activities are on their website at turningpointmacomb.org. And I'd encourage all of us today to take a moment on your way out or during worship here to look at those shirts, to see the imageries, to see the words that are on them, because they do represent those who have dealt with domestic violence in their past, some of which may be dealing with it still right now. And those shirts, they don't represent some far-off, far-away land or place, somewhere that's disconnected from us. These are women and children in our own community that have been a part of this project. This isn't an issue that is far away in some distant land. This is here. This is in our community. And there are those that need our support, need our encouragement. And I give thanks to our United Women in Faith, to all they do to partner with Turning Point throughout the year, the supplies we provide, and that we can be a part of this project during this Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I also have some other concerns that were shared with me this morning, so let me share these with you. I was made aware that both Judy Howard and Linda Knight both tested positive for COVID this week, so we lift up both Judy and Linda as they're dealing with their positive diagnosis. Mary Jo also asked for prayers this week for her grandson Xavier. He was in an ATV accident last weekend that resulted in a broken leg that required surgery, rather significant surgery. And she shared with me that he has returned home, and they're so thankful for all the prayers that they've received and that there were no other serious injuries, but he has a long road ahead of him for recovery. So prayers for patience and for healing for Xavier and for his mom and dad as they help him navigate this in the days ahead. Claudia Royal also asked that we keep Heidi Wilt's son Luke in our prayers. He was in a car accident this past week. He walked away with a concussion and otherwise some soreness, but is doing okay, so they were thankful for no more serious injuries. I also was able to speak with the Coras, Jean Cora. Ardeth had lifted up the Coras last week. She was able to return home this past week after a stay at the hospital and rehab. She's doing better, but will continue to receive rehab at home. Don just asked that we continue to keep her in our prayers for healing and strength for both of them. We also received a message from Carol Herm asking for prayers for our previous pastor, Trevor. He was taken to a hospital in Traverse City this week, and the doctors believe it to be an infection in his brain, as well as one in his blood, as an infection and a blood clot in his aortic heart valve. It was a valve he had replaced some years ago. And they were awaiting a plan from the doctors to know how they're going to be proceeding, but just prayers of calm and, of course, healing for Trevor are appreciated. And then finally from me, I received a message from Anna Benani last night asking us to keep Lou in our prayers. He was in and out of the hospital earlier this week, and just yesterday he was taken back into the hospital again. He's on oxygen and medication right now to help with the rhythm of his heart to get him back in rhythm. So just prayers for Lou and for Anna and for Anna as they deal with this time in the days ahead. And those were the ones that were given to me and shared with me before service. We have Nathan and Phil with the microphones. If you have something you'd like to share, please raise your hand, and I'll be happy to have you share with us today.
I haven't heard anything about Linda and Bill Carroll, but I know that they Bill has had ongoing health issues for quite a while. So if there's any information there, I would like to hear about it, but just to keep them both in prayer for encouragement.
Continue prayers for the Carrolls, absolutely, as Bill's dealt with a whole slew of things. Thank you, Jenny.
I'm asking for prayers for my mom, Cheryl Bittner, who is going in for hip replacement surgery this Friday. She's been in a significant amount of pain, as I'm sure probably some of you have seen. So this will hopefully relieve a lot of that.
Absolutely. Prayers for Cheryl as she goes in for her surgery. She jokingly told me at the pumpkin patch the other day that she's going to be about half bionic woman by the time she's done with this. But we will pray for her for that successful surgery and for healing. Thank you.
I have a testimony. I want to tell you that God is able to bring you through anything and to make you a strong person. I was a battered woman. I was in the hospital from being beat within an inch of my life by my husband. The children and I had to hide because he and his brother were going to kill us. I mean, God brought us through. And the most beautiful part of it all was later on in life, I was able to help so many women. I had been a pastor, and the first thing I let them know was that I had been a battered woman so that I could help people. You would not believe the number of women in churches that are battered. But I want to tell you, share it with someone. Let someone know what's going on in your life, someone who knows the Lord and can help you. I even had men come to me and ask me to find them someplace where they could get counseling because they beat their women. God is able to make a strong person out of someone who has come through all those terrible, terrible things in her life.
Thank you, Earl.
I'd just like to remind everyone, and I know we see that on the news and read it in newspapers and everything else, but please, let's continue to keep Ukraine in our prayers.
Absolutely. We continue to keep the people in Ukraine that are dealing with the still constant war that is taking place there. Let us not forget them. Thank you, Larry.
I couldn't be here last week, but I want to thank God for one more year with my mom. It was her birthday last week. Wow. And she was battered too. But she never treated us that way. Her mom treated her that way.
We are happy to celebrate a birthday and that you're back with us this week. And we also give thanks for those that have helped us through those times. Thank you very much.
I'd just like to thank you for that testimony over there. It's such a wonderful thing that God does. And I want to thank him for never leaving us, and he draws us closer through all this stuff that we go through. He keeps drawing us closer and closer and closer and gives us strength. And he is undefeatable in this world. And I just want to thank him. I want to thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name in this place. Amen.
Thank you, Marty.
My neighbor, Bill Black, passed away last weekend, and I ask for his prayers for his soul and for his family.
First for neighbor Bill. Absolutely.
Go ahead. My mother-in-law is having heart surgery on Wednesday, and she's very nervous about it, so just keep her in her prayers.
What's her name?
Linda.
Linda. Prayers for Linda.
Yeah. Both mothers are Linda.
both of them are Lindas. All right. Prayers for Linda. She goes in for heart surgery. Your mother-in-law, thank you.
Seattle and Houston, they went to 18 innings last night, and Houston won.
You know, we don't win them all, so thank you, Debbie. Are there any others this morning that would like to share?
I have one and Pastor and I were having a conversation this past week, and we need the Lord to raise up young men and women to be ministers in Methodist churches. They're leaving a lot faster than they're coming in, so I think we can pray for that too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan, for that reminder that we may all continue to support and lift up those leaders in our churches. Thank you. We've heard a good number of concerns. We've heard some joy shared as well. We know the Lord has heard all of them with us. But we also acknowledge that sometimes those things that are in our hearts aren't able to be spoken for whatever reason. So I'd encourage us to take this moment to to lift those that we want to speak silently before our Lord in this time of silent prayer. Merciful God, how wonderful is your law. How gracious are your ways. In your words are sweetness, and in your path is life. Coming as children of your own choosing, we offer our praise to your holy name, and we lift our thanksgivings to your glory. Your promises are true. You promised us a new way of living, wherein your covenant is written in our hearts. But too often, Lord, our hearts and we turn away from you. We fall in love with the concerns of the world. We turn inward to our own desires. And then we complain when we don't think you respond as quickly as we might wish. We abandon you when we give up on prayer and then wonder why we've lost heart, why we've lost faith. Too often we're selfish. We don't wish to listen. We don't wish to learn. Oh, Lord, forgive our iniquity. Remember our sin no more. And Lord, in this time, turn us back to you, the source of our life. Your life-giving Spirit has breathed into the sacred writings that instruct us for salvation through faith. Take away the itching in our ears and ground us in your word that we might proclaim the truth to an unbelieving world, bringing it back to the truth, bringing it back to you. You employ many means to bring health and well-being to your people, Lord. And although your ways are not always our ways, we trust that you will make your people whole. On this day, there are many, so many, who are discouraged and have lost heart because of suffering. Wrap your loving arms around them, we pray. Give them comfort this day. If their affliction is not to be removed in this life, then grant them strength to endure in this time. Give to all in distress your peace and your comfort and your hope this day. Write your words in our hearts. For we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, as we join our voices together to pray this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue this time of worship. I'll invite you to again stand with me as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 601, Thy Word is a Lamp. Will you stand with me and sing? Please be seated. And as you are, I again offer my words of gratitude, my words of thanks. I mentioned Turning Point, our work with them this month, but that work isn't just done because it's a special month in this church. We have so many groups, so many ministries, so many different ways that we reach into our community through Turning Point, through Samaritan House, through all those different missions that we support, and I offer my thanks for that. I offer my thanks for your continued faithful giving. We, of course, have the box on the organ if you'd like to leave a gift here in person today. We also have our giving available on our website at romeoumc.com. Thank you for your thankfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness to our church and its ministries. Let me offer us this word of appreciation, this word of prayer for today's collected gifts. Holy God, as we offer our gifts to you this day, we pray that in our giving, we may be reconnected to the reason why we follow, to the reason why we give. You called us to be disciples and to make disciples. Help us to be all in, knowing who we are, knowing who you are, knowing why we are following. Help us to avoid that which distracts us, the desire to hear the things that please us and make the road easier, but those things that will not bring us to the kingdom of justice, mercy, and compassion. The kingdom that you desire for us. We pray these things in Christ, our guiding light. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today again has us in the second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be hearing chapter 3 verse 14 through chapter 4 verse 5. Wow, I apologize. Being up with a little one last night has me a little out of sorts here today. Let's try this again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. My friends, this is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not long ago, I came across an article. It was titled, It's Hard for Them, Too. In it, the author, she discussed her work as a counselor dealing with young children, with little children. And she said that half the battle of her job was dealing with exasperated parents who couldn't believe how hard it was to be a parent. And thus the reason for the title of that article, It's Hard for Them, Too. And she explained that while meeting with children over the years, she often tried to put herself into their shoes to understand where they were coming from, what they were thinking, what they were seeing, what they were experiencing on a daily basis. And after several years of working with these children, she came to one conclusion, one final conclusion. And it was this. Not a single one of us adults could cope with the things that they have to cope with on a daily basis. Seriously, think about it. For starters, think about being told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Endlessly. Eat that thing you've never seen before that doesn't smell so great. Don't make that rude face, or that one either. It's time to go somewhere you don't really want to go, so go get on your shoes that you can't tie yourself. Hurry, hurry, hurry to meet some arbitrary deadline that means nothing to you, that you don't understand. And then top off being told what to do with failing as often as some little children do fail. Not being able to move your hands in the right way to manipulate that pencil or cut the piece of paper. Spilling food and water. Oh, the food and water that is spilled all the time. Stumbling and falling face first in the lawn as you run across it. Or worse, on the concrete as you run across that. Unable to tie your shoes the right way. To zip up your coat. To open the water bottle. The list goes on and on of the ways that those kids, those children, struggle. It's not easy being a kid sometimes, is it? An endless line of instructions, an endless list of rules to follow. It's hard for them, too. You know, it seems like any time I need an illustration or a reminder of how kids feel, how they think, I find myself going to the same place every time. I go to my good buddy Calvin and that pet tiger of his, Hobbs. They help inform me a little bit. Can you go and put that first comic up there for us, Claudia? There they are. And in that first panel, Calvin states, "What a ripoff! They say if you connect these dots, you get a picture. But look, I did it, and it's just a big mess." And always ready to help his friend out, Hobbs responds, "I think you're supposed to connect them in the order that they're numbered." Go ahead with that next panel, Claudia. Looking at that paper, slightly dejected, Calvin responds with a simple, "Oh." Before continuing on in that last panel, everything's got to have rules, rules, rules. Poor Calvin, all those rules to follow. And I'm fairly certain if I were to go pull our students back there in the Odyssey room right now, the youth that are out there with them, they'd agree with Calvin's assessment. What's with all the rules, rules, rules? The more I thought about that, and the more I reflected on that this week, I realized, how do we as adults, or more importantly, how do we as Christians feel about having to follow all those rules, rules, rules? How many of you caught the first line of that psalm I read for us here this morning? Remember what that line read? "Oh, how I love your law." That's what the psalmist wrote. I'm going to be honest, that's not a proclamation I often hear in other places. "Oh, how I love the laws. I love all these rules you have for me. I love being told what to do." I don't see a whole lot of heads nodding in agreement to those statements out there today. Forget the kids. We don't really agree with those rules a lot of the times, do we? Those laws. And if we take just a moment, we see in the Old Testament, we have plenty of examples of others who struggled to follow those rules. Struggled to follow those laws. Right in the very beginning, Adam and Eve had one rule to follow, and they couldn't do it. The Israelites give us countless examples of times after being led out of slavery in Egypt. They couldn't remain faithful. As Moses was up on the mountain talking to God himself, they couldn't remain faithful to the laws. And it's not the only time God's chosen people struggled to follow the laws, struggled with following the rules. And we're just in the first two books of the Bible there so far. The story repeats itself often. It's clear there is a struggle to obey the law. And of course, it's easy for me to stand up here and pile on the Israelites, those that we read about in the Bible. But what about us today? What if we bring it back to us today? We like to think that we're different, that we've do things different now that we've read those stories, that we've learned from those stories. But I would bet, if we really want to be honest, we still act in quite a similar way. We make decisions on which laws to follow and which ones to break. Of course, we remember the big laws. We try not to kill or steal or worship other gods. At least I hope that's the case for all of us out here today. What about some of those lesser laws, as we might call them? the ones that are really more just of an inconvenience for us? Are we as strict about some of those laws? In my travels this week, I came across a list of the most commonly broken laws. And it included some that seemed pretty obvious, pretty common, like speeding. I mean, we all know that 70 miles an hour is just a suggestion when you get out there on the freeway, right? Especially the farther you head north, as you get up to that up north territory, it's just a suggestion, 70 miles an hour. But that list also included things like wearing your seatbelt, using a cell phone while driving, jaywalking, not getting a dog license for your dog, or betting and gambling with friends. There was also one on the list that it made me laugh, because I know that at least 4/5 of the children over at my house right now have broken this multiple times, and that was using a tree or a bush as a means to relieve oneself. I sure hope the snickers and laughter aren't a sign of admission of guilt for any of you out there. But perhaps you've just heard me read that list of some of the common ones that I found, and you don't really find yourself on the wrong side of any of those. You may think you're sitting pretty even as you're out there in the pews, but I guarantee you the last one that was on the list, it's going to get all of us, every single one of us, because I'm actually pretty certain we've all broken it as a community here together before. Right in this sanctuary, we have broken this law. And what is this all-important law that we're guilty of breaking, each and every one of us? It would be singing happy birthday in public among a group of people. That's right, singing those popular songs in public might very well constitute copyright infringement, and you need a license to do so. And I actually read that the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers asked the Girl Scouts to pay royalties for teaching their Girl Scouts to do the Macarena at summer camp. And I read it on the internet, so it has to be true. But also, just to be on the safe side, to YouTube, because I know you're out there watching our stream, we do our best. We have all the licenses in place. I swear we are doing our best to follow those laws. But looking at those lists of human laws, ones that we've created as human beings, ones that we sometimes play fast and loose with, it made me wonder, which of God's laws do we likewise play fast and loose with? Do we pick and choose which of God's laws we want to follow? The psalmist's statement of, "Oh, how I love your law," it encourages us to really think about those laws, those that we follow, as well as those that we choose to ignore or break. How do we decide? Where do we draw the line? Most importantly, though, how can we have an enthusiasm like that of the psalmist? How can we truly embody the statement, "Oh, how I love your law"? Can we see the law? Can we see the law of God as a means to grace? A tool to live with greater integrity, with greater faithfulness in this world? Because the psalmist, in his excitement, in his energy, he had found the law to be something to embrace, not a restriction in their life. How can we see the law through a similar lens? This particular psalm, it compares the law to all other sources of wisdom. It is wiser than one's enemies. It is wiser than one's teachers. It is wiser than even the most respected leaders. The thing of note is the psalm does not disparage any of those other sources of wisdom, but instead it declares that all such wisdom must be measured and filtered against the wisdom of God. For us as Christians today, it's important to realize that the Torah, those first 5 books of the Old Testament, it's more than just a set of rules and regulations. It's commonly referred to as the law, but it is also a reflection of the will of God. It's exposed to us in stories, in laws, in poetry, and experiences of those people. For the psalmist, God's law was not something that could be contained on the page. To truly appreciate it, we must experience it in one's behavior, in our actions, in our words. That's why the psalmist wrote, "I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word." Because God's laws weren't intended to be a bulleted list of do's and don'ts. It's intended to be a blueprint, a guideline for how we are to live our lives. And then Jesus would come and be a living witness of God's law, showing us the ways of God that we should follow, the ways we should live our lives. Now, I've asked that statement a few times now. How many of us could really get behind the statement of, "Oh, how I love your law"? I didn't get a whole lot of nodding heads to that statement, at least that I noticed. What if, though? What if I break out my editor's pen? Or it would be on my computer these days, I guess. What if I break out those editor's tools I have and make just one small tweak to that psalm? I'm just going to change one small thing. What if instead it read like this? Go ahead, Claudia. "Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Reading it in that way, I doubt I'm going to get too many disagreements to the statement of, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We even sing that song sometimes, don't we? I might even be able to get an amen to a statement like, "Oh, how I love Jesus." That's something we can get behind. Jesus Christ taught us the way of God. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Jesus Christ is our law. The world is full of wisdom of its own. Wisdom of history, wisdom of science, of psychology, of mathematics, intellectual wisdom, earthly wisdom, they all exist in this world. But to have true wisdom, we need to seek the truth. We need to see it through the example and lens of Jesus Christ. The Bible's widely regarded and known as the best-selling book of all time. Depending on where you look, who you ask, it's been sold, there's been between 5 billion and 6.5 billion copies of the Bible published and put into circulation. With so many copies in print, it's not surprising that throughout history, people have reflected and shared their own thoughts on the Bible. And Abraham Lincoln once said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." And Soren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher and theologian, had this to say: "The Bible is very easy to understand. But we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly." I believe both those statements were echoed in the words Paul wrote to Timothy in our scripture here today. Paul makes a point of reminding Timothy of the importance of the power that is God's word. Paul is sending the same message to Timothy that the psalmist wrote about. The power of the word of God is not that it's words on a page, laws to be followed. It is the power to change our lives. That was the message Paul wanted to make clear to his young protege. Those stories, those letters that we've looked into these past few weeks. This is the message that Paul is trying to share. He wanted him to preach the word, to share God's truth, to say what I've been saying to you. He tells Timothy to repeat after me. Go forth and repeat after me. Paul was never one to pull any punches. His life had shown that choosing to following Jesus was not for the faint of heart. He warned Timothy that he would surely encounter godlessness in the future, that there would be those times when his words and his wisdom would come up against the wisdom of the world. There would be times even that his own ears, he'd feel a tickle in his ear. He'd feel that itch trying to pull him away from God. But Paul continues to encourage Timothy, stay true to your godly heritage. Continue in your godly heritage. This heritage had a few different origins for Timothy. We talked about Timothy's mother and grandmother a few weeks back. From his first days, how they cared for him and raised him to know God. How they met his physical needs, but also his spiritual needs throughout his life. And now Paul makes it clear, they have passed on the faith to you. It's time for you, Timothy, to continue the tradition and go forth and share it with others. There was also the heritage of Paul's teaching that Timothy knew. Timothy had been with Paul for some time. He'd seen and heard Paul from a young age. He'd seen God's work through Paul. As Paul's coming to the end of his earthly life, he knows his days are numbered. He knows he needs someone else to continue forth. So he calls Timothy to continue that tradition of truth. And finally, Paul says Timothy has the most important heritage of all, the heritage of the Scriptures. Its message had led Timothy to salvation through Christ. Its message would continue to lead others. The teaching of the Scriptures are a heritage of grace through our Lord and Savior that would bring others to salvation. That is why Paul continues to encourage Timothy to repeat after me. That's why Timothy is called repeatedly to speak the truth of the Scriptures. Nothing added, nothing deleted, just God's message. The Scriptures came from God. They were God-breathed. The truth of sin, sacrifice, and salvation, it's not man's truth, but God's truth. God's word contains the doctrine essential for faith. It spoke rebuke to those who rebelled. It offers correction to those who have strayed. And it trains God's people for right living. The result, when we still today turn to God's word, we are shown the way to live. We are shown all that God has intended us to be. We live into what God intended us to be. And that's why Paul lays it all on the line and tells Timothy to proclaim this truth. Jesus Christ will return to judge the faithfulness of the people. Paul had no doubt about it. We have no doubt about it still today. But with that in mind, he told Timothy to preach the word. Just as a teacher of little children instructs them and must demonstrate great patience, Timothy must have that instruction and patience in his heart. He was to correct, rebuke, and encourage from the Scriptures. As Paul warns that there are enemies of God, and they will continue to try to contradict those Scriptures, God's word. They will change and measure themselves by it, trying to make it seem holy and godly, but they will disrupt Timothy's work. So Timothy must always stick to the charge that God has given him, to ignore that itching in his ears, and instead he should repeat after me, repeat after Christ, preach and teach the word. God's message, the true message of salvation, of hope and love and grace, it must continue to be told. It was true for Timothy, and it is still true for us today. It is each of our responsibilities to take the encouragement to heart, to repeat after me, repeat after Christ himself. May we live our lives like Jesus. May we love others like Jesus. And at the end of the day, may we remember the primary reason, the primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible. It's not to memorize the Bible. The primary purpose of reading and engaging in Scripture, engaging in the Bible, is to know God in our hearts, to know God's love for us. Let us know God this week. Let us know God always. Amen.
So if you're able, let's stand for our last song.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hope, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can see I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
May the living word of the Lord dwell with you. May it live through you. May it fill your thoughts and your deeds. May it fill your mouth with God's message of love. May it sustain you in good times and in bad. May it equip you for a ministry of peace and hope. Let us go with God's blessing today and always. Amen.